Hello, everybody. Welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. Lana's not with us today, but today we have a very special guest and a good friend of mine who I've been trying to get on the show for quite a while, but because of just conflicts and schedules, it's been difficult. But I'm so glad to have Deodora with us today. Welcome, Deodora.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on at the last minute like this. This is great. I had so much trouble trying to get this show put up. Just due to everything I've been doing. I've been so busy lately, and I've been trying to get you on the show for quite a while. Deodora is a musician, a book author, a spiritual counselor, a motivational speaker. I've known you for quite a while, for many years. So just welcome to Universal Soul Love.
Thank you.
So why don't you give us a little bit of background on your experiences and about your book and your books, actually. You put out quite a few.
Yes. This is the fifth book that I've released thus far, and it's called I Am Awakening Ecstasy. I'm essentially a fantasy writer, a fantasy novelist, and I write about what I call transpersonal philosophy. So I'm really excited about releasing that, and I'm really happy to be here on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked a lot about in the past about personal relationships, romantic relationships. Unconditional love is a big topic of yours. So that seems to be that seems to be one of your sort of specialties, talking about interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoy writing about unity consciousness, and this book in particular is geared towards understanding wholeness of the self and integrating the whole self so that you can reflect the whole love to another, and you can attract the soul relationship that you're desiring that's beyond the karmic ties of most old paradigm relationships. So I really feel like it acts as a transmission and an awakening catalyst for attracting the relationship that you desire. And you've been a really big part of guiding that and sharing with me that there were aspects of myself that you appreciated and were able to see that in yourself and then attract the relationship that you wanted. So thank you for that.
Right. Yeah, thank you. You were a catalyst for me during my spiritual awakening. You met me at a time many years ago when I was really going through a hard time and really just looking within myself and examining my own thoughts and feelings. And that was sort of the high point of my spiritual awakening. And I got to tell you, that personal transformation is really difficult, and it's really difficult to look at those thoughts and feelings. And I had been doing many years of meditation, and a lot of, at that time, a lot of soulmates were coming into my life, and it was a very strange thing. You know, I had just I had done the past life regression course, and of course, it was just at that time that you came into my life and many other women, and it was a very exciting time, and I really learned a lot, and I learned a lot about myself and a lot about personal relationships, and still am, still always part of the personal growth process.
Right. Yeah.
It's very exciting. I think that relationships are the personal are the perfect vehicle for personal growth and for spiritual evolution. You know, we really help each other as students and teachers of life.
Absolutely.
You know, in the learning process. So, you and I have had so many conversations about this, about soulmate relationships and twin flame relationships and personal relationships of all kinds, professional and It's very interesting. I can't think of being in life without relationships. Life would be very boring. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, it can be crazy too. Love and fear and all those things that we've talked about.
Yeah. When you and I definitely met each other at a point where we were looking for. Looking for awakening and looking for the best ways to expand and evolve our conscious awareness, and both exploring very dark areas of our lives and even in relationships, like searching for what we truly wanted, and for looking at aspects that that a lot of people would consider dark, and integrating those and accepting those as a part of ourselves so that we could transcend them. I feel like we were really good reflections of one another, and that we continue to do that, David, you and I do, and everyone around us, if we're really observing and we're coming from that neutral state. What I've continued to learn is that when I'm watching other people, they are sharing with me aspects of myself that I haven't seen, and by seeing others as myself and as clear mirrors of myself, I'm able to love myself to even greater and greater levels, which you wouldn't even think that would be possible, and be able to integrate aspects of myself that I didn't know or were even possible to get to the point where I am now, which is just feeling like I can love pretty much anybody and anything. So I'm here to spread my message and continue to do, like you said, the intuitive and psychic healing work that I offer. To everyone, just as a vessel of cosmic universal love or awakening. So, yeah.
Right. I think what you're doing is very difficult. You're taking on an enormous mission, especially when it comes to emotion, especially when it comes to love and fear, and looking at those darker aspects of ourselves. And as you said, we both continue to do that and explore these things that objectively and non-judgmentally. And that's what I think. That's what we're all here to do as part of the awakening process. And I always say, life is hard. It's not easy, but it's not that serious in the end. I think once you've begun the exploration, the self inner examination and introspection. The reflection process that we're talking about, looking right at your thoughts and feelings, and because you learn to overcome death, I think that's the first thing. We realize who we are, our true selves, in the process, and that fear tends to dissipate. I mean, I guess we're always dealing with it, those darker aspects of self, but I think it's best to take it head on and see it within yourself. And heal yourself, and also work on helping other people heal as well. And I think that's what I'm here to do, and probably what you're here to do as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely.
So, it's emotions. Yeah. Emotions are very difficult.
Yeah.
And relationships are very difficult. But but it's all fun, right? It is. It's very exciting.
Yeah,
it really makes life interesting.
One of my biggest inspirations for the writing and the work that I do has been Richard Rudd, who wrote a book called Gene Keys, and it's based on the 64 hexagram of the I Ching, and he talks about there being a spectrum of consciousness from all the way from the shadow to the gift, which he describes as our doing, to the Siddhi, which is just being that. And what you mentioned earlier reminded me, we take ourselves so seriously sometimes, and the 34th gene key is the shadow of seriousness, the gift of delight, and the Siddhi of ecstasy. And that's kind of where I took my book to another level. I like to take fantastic ideas and expand on them. So I wrote about the 65th gene key, and which is also the Siddhi of ecstasy, because it's the bridge between the old world, which are, you know, the I Ching is ancient wisdom, and I am transmitting as Deodora the new I Ching, or the I Ching, the 24 gates, in addition to the 64 old ones, to create 88 in total. And so when we move past the shadow of seriousness, when we embrace that, as, you know, as humans, we all of us can relate to taking things too seriously. We step into the gift of delight, and into the Siddhi of ecstasy. So yeah, definitely know that there, his writings have really inspired me into understanding what I call the collective emotional field, which he's simply listing, you know, 64 different human emotions, but in addition to all of those, there are, you know, three underneath each of those 64. So we have quite an expansive field of emotion, and from my understanding, that field of emotion is actually also what I call the astral field of light. It is quantum physics. And by observing one's emotions, you can transcend them and transmute them and step into, instead of just experiencing them at a very, you know, egoic level, you can experience them at a higher, more transpersonal level, of the fifth dimension, as we know that's coming into the energetics of our field. And Richard Rudd calls that the Buddhic realm.
Right. Okay. I understand. I like the term that you used, emotional field. It kind of reminds me of the emotional body. That's a very exciting energy, and it's. I think that's why a lot of us, you know, come into this world is for the exciting emotions.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very tumultuous, but it's I really didn't explore those deeper levels of myself until I started meditating, and around the time that I started writing my first book, Illusion of the Body, in 2011, and it was around that time that I met you as well, and other women, and other people, and I started exploring these things, you know, the emotional body and my thoughts and feelings and even love and ideas that I had never considered, ideas that you brought up with me about unconditional love and higher love and things I wasn't even aware of. And it was just amazing to see these things within myself, and even the fear, and even things that you just wouldn't know were there until you really took the time to be silent. And, you know, and then it was at that time that I started making connections with my guides and higher powers. And I think it's something that you really can't do until you're able to sit in silence and make those connections and really relate to people and understand people. And A lot of people on a network certainly appreciate what you're saying, the information that you just gave. We had Alexander Midas on our show about a month ago, and she has a lot of similar ideas and theories about unconditional love and about fear and all these ideas that you were just describing. And certainly I do too. I didn't understand a lot of these things until I met you and people like Alexandra, who are transformational leaders, really, for the awakening process for people on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the more research that I do and the more that I talk to people and observe human behavior, the more that I realize that many people and the majority of people aren't emotionally defined. So even the concept of understanding emotions, like you would just think that most people know, you know, what those feelings are, or they're aware of their emotions, and that's absolutely not the case. If you're familiar with the interpersonal system, human design, which is also based on the I Ching, it gives you, I remember introducing you to that years ago, it gives you it said, because we are actually 9 chakra beings rather than 7, where 7 is Saturnian, and we haven't been Saturnian since the late 1700s, and in 1781, we switched, we expanded, and so now we have 9 chakras in our energy fields, which I know is quite a big thought for a lot of people out there. But the human design system is based on 9, and the emotional center is only defined in certain people's energy system, and you can find your chart online just by looking up, you know, humandesignamerica.com or jovianarchive.com, just researching human design chart. And it's very similar to an astrology chart, but instead of it based on the 13 planets, which you can see around yourself and then reflected in the heavens above, it's imagining, you know, a 64 tetrahedron around yourself, kind of like a Merkaba. And then only having certain gates of that Merkaba being lit up. So on my system, I have 35-36, which is the actual channel of the collective emotional field. And to not have collective emotional, or to not have emotional definition, you have to search right. Even deeper, and you know, to understand human emotions. And since we all do have them, obviously, like you all, even sure. If you don't have that energy defined in your system, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It means, you know, that it's open and that you can connect to it probably even more so. So my having definition of it made me have to really observe myself, become aware of the energy that I'm putting out, you know. So it's like, it's very important for me, for example, to be in a state of peacefulness so that I'm exuding peacefulness wherever I walk, because I am a collective emotional channel, essentially putting out energy. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you talk about the collective emotional field, it reminds me of what Sasha Stone, who was a guest on our show a couple weeks ago, had mentioned about sort of, the planetary consciousness. It's sort of like what we're all constantly putting out sort of into the M band, you know, the mental band around the planet, that collective field, and it has a consciousness of its own. And sort of, so if each one of us is always putting out, I'm not sure if I understood exactly what he was saying about this, but I believe that when you're constantly putting out negative dark emotions, that has an effect on our collective reality. And so like you said, you're a channeler yourself, so you're certainly putting out you want to be
exuding
tranquil
positive.
And peaceful and always putting out loving thoughts and emotions, and we should all be doing that because we're all contributing to this
collective. Absolutely. It's definitely each of our personal responsibility, you know, to be aware of what it is, the thoughts, whether it is mental, you know, the thoughts, or it's emotional, the feelings that we're putting out, and obviously also our behavior and our experience. And while our behavior and experiences aren't in any way or shape or form going to necessarily accelerate awakening, by becoming more and more consciously aware of our being and doing, our behavior and our experiences and our feelings and our thoughts, you know, that we can become more and more aware of our expanding and evolution as individuals. And that's really key to, to altering behaviors that aren't beneficial on an individual, personal level, rather than externalizing it and making it other people's responsibility to, you know, it's like everyone right. needs to embody peace. It's like, no, you, I am, I exist. I need to right. embody peace. It's no one else's responsibility.
It's true.
You know? Yeah.
It is our individual personal responsibility to take ownership of our thoughts and feelings and behavior, because we're the ones that are putting it out there in the universe, and we're the ones that are manifesting reality. We're the co-creators of the universe, and we're the ones creating the inner and outer reality for everyone. And what your message is really important, which is why you have the message of unconditional love, and certainly why, you know, we came up with the show Universal Soul Love. That's what we're striving for, and that's what we want. That's our intention, the energy right. that we want to put out, and that's what we try to. We always try to come back to our heart center and always maintain that peace. And it's a really important message for everyone to hear, and we're going to continue to put out that message. And I do think it takes a lot of self-awareness to know yourself and to know what your thoughts and feelings are and what your behavior is and what you're putting out and how you're to make sure that you're maintaining positive, healthy relationships with people. And we don't always achieve that in every moment, but it's certainly important to maintain that intention.
Right. Yeah. And I've just gone back to really simple teachings more recently, by the guidance of Bobby Kay, who does the I Ching Weekly, which is super fantastic. And he was saying, you know, go back to your original teachers. So I picked up the Four Agreements again, and I was like, okay, I know this book. I read it when I, you know, like 12 years ago, 14, whatever, a good chunk of time ago. And I still had notes from my teenager self that I had written in there. And it's like, okay, yeah, they're very simple, you know, it's being impeccable to your word and not taking things personally. And, what's the third one? doing your best. I'm trying to remember all of them. It's really that simple, you know, essentially, especially even if I just go back to not taking things personally, I find yeah. that I can actually hear people rather than needing to apply my own personal meaning from my past experiences or trying to manipulate and control some kind of outcome, which right. is my egoic mind tricking me into believing that I have any control over it anyway.
that egoic
but,
mind
yeah.
always wants to be insulted and offended. And I honestly, I'm sometimes I'm the worst at that. I hate to say it, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Those simple teachings are really important, just not taking
yeah.
things personally and so seriously, and realizing that when you react to things, it's often, more often than not, it's based on your past experiences and maybe even past life experiences. Who knows? When we encounter
right.
people in situations
yeah.
and we react to them in a way that we know is not in our truth, it's coming from a
yeah.
place of fear rather than a place of love.
Right.
And certainly when we do that, it's important to reflect on that and come back to our center and realize that we have forgiveness of self available to us and forgiveness of others and all things, and that we can always come back to that unconditional love.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think
and,
it is.
And what is fear is, you know, if we look at it simply, fear is just the belief that you're separate from life, and you're separate from life itself. And that's what we mean when we say consciousness, like that's what we mean life, you know. And you can't actually separate yourself from life,
right?
So,
and that's the illusion of duality.
There's a little tiny computer inside yeah. of us that's telling us that, and I call that source code, which is part of my first book, is to break you free from the egoic mind. I call that 88 Days, Prologue of a Light Traveler. And it's just showing you how false the egoic mind is, because the separateness is actually false. Like, you can't do anything to separate yourself from life, and even in death, when you die, you're going into even deeper into unity. It's like none of us really know what that looks like. I've had mushroom trips where I've gotten a pretty good idea of what that looks like, right? But none of us really know what unity looks like. But you can have profound experiences through meditation, through eye gazing, through through openness of the heart and mind, and through dropping, you know, your resistances to your separation from life, which is a limiting belief, and we are limitless and infinite beings to begin with.
That's certainly my belief, that we have an eternal soul, and certainly I think that we limit ourselves when we actually have no limitations. It's really a limitation of the mind, and we need to realize that. And those limiting beliefs that you talked about, that's a really important concept. We need to realize that we are in control of ourselves and our mind, although we may not be able to necessarily control anything outside of ourselves, more or less influencing them. But what we can control within ourselves is really profound, and it's really amazing. And that's what we need to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to take a quick break right now so that we can put a little music and I can regroup. So, but before we go, could you give us your website and some information about your book?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so my website is www.iamdeadora.com. And through my website, you can find links to all the work that I do, including the sale of my book, which is available on Amazon, Kindle, Lulu, and PayPal. My latest book will help you to integrate your masculine and feminine, which is the theme of the 2015 astrological year. So it's a very timely written piece that I started writing and released just in synchronistic flow without knowing that information. At the exact same time as the start of the new astrological year, which happened to also be my 31st birthday, which was midnight on April 5th. So the work will take you into integrating your not just masculine and feminine, but your multidimensional individuality, and it's done in a very creative, artistic storytelling way. So I call it philosophy fiction. So it's a very fun and enjoyable read. I love existential philosophy. I love philosophy, period. But I storytell so that, because I know that not everybody likes to read about being. So it's,
okay,
it's
well,
very enjoyable to read.
you're an excellent writer. You're very prolific and very descriptive, and
I
really enjoy it. And of course, you know, we both love metaphysical philosophy and spiritual philosophy, so I can relate to you well. If everybody, whoever likes my stuff, would love your stuff for sure. So So I highly recommend everybody listening. You know, check out your page and get your book. Okay, and we're going to go to break. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love. Today on our show, I have my very special friend, Deidora, on the show with us today. Deidora is an author, a spiritual counselor, a musician, and a motivational speaker. Welcome back, Deidora.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure, absolutely. So glad to have you. We've just been talking about relationships. We've been talking about lots of ideas around thoughts and emotions, and just exploring the self. And coming, it's a great interview. We're coming up with lots of interesting ideas around this, around soulmate relationships and communication. And thought we could explore that a little bit more, Deodora.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah, do you have any specific questions for me? I love questions.
Well, one thing I was thinking about, there's lots of questions as always. I think the questions are always more interesting than the answers sometimes. I recently thought one excellent question is worth 1,000 good answers.
Right? So. It's true. Yeah. I like to hashtag ask good questions on Instagram because it's totally true, you know? It's like if you got the right question, then it doesn't really matter what the answer is. There's an infinite number of responses to it, but if you get the right question, you know, that's the gem. I hear you there for sure.
We always think there's one right answer or one right way of doing things, and I think there's always a lot of different answers because there's always a lot of different reasons for why things happen in life and why things happen to us and why we do things and why we have thoughts and feelings, and a lot of times we don't even know why we have our thoughts and feelings, but that's what we're here to do, I think, in life. And one thing I was thinking of when I set up this interview with you this morning was this idea that a lot of times when we're in relationships, personal relationships or romantic relationships or any kind of relationship, we have arguments and we hate these arguments. But I realized that a lot of times when we're having discussions with people and there's a lot of emotional content, a lot of times the other person, what we don't realize is the other person or even ourselves, we're arguing about things that have nothing to do with the actual argument. In our subconscious, we're playing out things that have nothing to do with the actual discussion. And so we're never going to win an argument. I don't even think the objective is to win an argument anyhow, but this has to do with personal conflicts and even with war. We don't understand that these arguments are about our experiences, maybe experiences early in life that are being played out in the moment, or even past life experiences being played out in the moment with this person. And so the arguments can become very confusing for everyone, and the answers may not even come up because we're not aware enough of what it is that's going on with us emotionally in that moment.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not even observing ourselves, and we're looking at the other person, right? The object, the externalization of the self, rather than looking at ourselves. That's what you mean? Yeah. I just started saying, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, I'm hearing the conflict, right? The shadow of conflict. Richard Rudd talks about it being the shadow of conflict in the sixth gene key. And it's the gift of diplomacy, right? That naturally makes sense. And it's the siddhi of peace. So when you're acting in diplomacy, when you're acting in love, then you're the embodiment of peace. So that's one of my favorites, obviously, like I was telling you, as a channel of the collective emotional field. I try to sit in that space most often. But I just started noticing when I am in conflict with other people that it's a pattern. And I just started going, oh my goodness, like out loud, like, oh my goodness, I'm in the shadow of conflict, forgive me, this is a pattern. I need to go and resolve the conflict myself. And I would get up and walk away, whether it was my mom or dad or a stranger, it didn't matter, and I'd be like, forgive me, brother, sister. And I would get up and I would walk away, and I would look inside of myself to see where the actual conflict was, because it's not external. No matter how much you think it's the other person, it's not. It's your own personal responsibility to resolve that. It literally doesn't matter if it's about dinner or it's about where you want to vacation or it's something serious about your finances or whatever. Serious, right? There's that shadow again. The seriousness.
I totally agree with you. I actually did this yesterday and I saw this in myself. Yeah. It's true. It's not. It is our responsibility. It's not the other person. And in the moment, you get into. I sometimes, you know, emotions really aren't intelligent. I mean, the mind isn't always intelligent either, but we tend to think that when somebody's speaking emotionally or when they're angry, that it's a rational thought, that there's a rational.
Right. There's a reason for it. I know what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when the person's angry, you may not be able to reason with that person. You may not, you know, if you're angry, someone may not be able to reason with you. You may not be able to come to an understanding So we just have to be aware of that sometimes emotions are not reasonable or rational, and you have to sort of, it often, you know, what I've found in conflicts is that it doesn't matter who started the conflict, because the second person is now the one that's responsible. And you have to take, you either react or respond to that other person, and that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility.
Right.
Yes, we do have the right to defend ourselves and protect ourselves, but you have to question yourself before you respond to a person. You have to look at your thought, and it's very difficult in the moment. But that conflict will continue that you're talking about. That pattern will continue until one person or the other, or whoever's involved in the conflict, takes responsibility. And I know Jesus, the avatar Jesus, he talked about turning the other cheek. I don't know. I mean. We're talking about good decision making, really. We're talking about conflict management. We're talking about, like you said, diplomacy and negotiation and conciliation, and just doing the right thing. So, each person has responsibility to do
political.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of see what he's saying as Jesus or Yeshua as being political. It's like, you know, you can have both cheeks. Like, I don't really care. Because I don't see there being separateness between us. There is no other. So whether you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a heretic, it doesn't really matter. You can say anything, and I can still hear you, and I can still be present, and I can still listen. That doesn't mean that he didn't go off, which he often did, you know, probably every single day, to be alone by himself, but so that he could even just be present with people, because we are human, he suggested...
Yes.
You know, to remain present in the conflict. It's okay.
He did. He was always around people, but he also took time for solitude and went on his retreats. And he was also an angry person. We know from the Bible that he overtipped tables, and there was times when, you know, he became furious with the merchants and the tax.
Yeah, he didn't like capitalism in the church.
Yeah. So he certainly displayed human emotion and human qualities, and I'm sure the Buddha did too.
Absolutely.
I know I put a post out once about how the Buddha actually I think he left his wife and his family, and which you know, that's very controversial, but in saying that, the Buddha was also human and displayed human qualities, and he didn't speak a lot about relationships, I guess, and didn't often speak about soulmate relationships. And I think what you and I are doing may be more difficult than what many and what a lot of people are doing is more difficult than what some of the masters did. I mean, we take on our emotions, and we take on other people, and we're in society, and we're living the life, all of us. And I think that's
right.
Very difficult.
Yeah,
it's more difficult than sitting on a mountaintop, meditating, you know.
Right. Yeah, I hear
being
what you're saying. I mean, if you look at the teachings of like Jesus or Buddha, or any great avatar, or even someone like Eckhart Tolle, I was lamenting to a friend the other day, Eckhart Tolle, his solution is just to remain in the present moment. And the state that you're trying to achieve, whether it is, I believe, whether you're talking about Christianity or you're talking about Buddhism, any kind of spiritual or religious practice, you're trying to get to a state of complete oneness and enlightenment, of being able to be fully in that now present moment. I feel as if I have achieved that. And however, what you're saying is that there's still, and you've always said this, and I totally agree with you as a reflection of myself, that you have to have practical application thereafter. So you can get to awakening, and then you still have to take practical steps of how to embody that and what to do, you know, thereafter in the world to make it practical. You know, you can be completely in the present moment, and you still have to take action to create the change that needs to happen.
Right, absolutely.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
I am. Mindfulness meditations was one of the best practices I've ever learned, and staying in the present moment, like you said, and being fully present with people is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Difficult to achieve, but definitely key to unconditional love.
Jonah Bull. Yeah, are you still there? Sounds like we're hitting some sunspots again. I was just saying that, you're absolutely right. I was talking to Jonah about practical solutions. You know, it's being the mental aspect. Of course, we know that, you know, the universe is mental, but and so our thoughts create reality. However, it's just a framework. We do have to have practical applications. We have to have positive solutions. We have to take positive action in order to manifest our dream reality and manifest our vision, our shared vision. And that's what we're continuing to do. And we're seeing a lot of social upheaval right now, probably more than ever right now, I feel. My gut feeling is that we're really hitting some new level right now with Greece and with everything that's happening in the world and in relationships. Everything seems to be very intense right now. The energies that are hitting the planet seem to be very intense, more than last week, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially today. Today is, the full moon. So, especially on your part of the Earth. So there's a lot of energetics, you know, that are coming through because of the full moon energy that is, bringing us a lot of. I would say that I don't know if it's the majority of people. I haven't done, a whole survey of our planet, but a lot of people probably experiences very high emotions, a lot of flooding of thoughts coming in and not knowing where to put it. And my practical solution for that would to be put it into your creativity. And I have people go, well, I don't really make anything. And I'm like, well, your creativity could be different. Like it could be IT, it could be web design, it could be, like for me, it's my music and my writing and my psychic work that I do on a daily basis, like that to me is like doing this right now, where creativity is everything. And if you start to look at life that way and see it as life and creativity as one and the same, and as a solution, then your thoughts and your feelings begin to shift of like, okay, now what can I do with all of this beautiful energy that is coming in and is being released, right? Mm. Like we're sending it back out and we're pulling it in and we're sending it back out, and you can dance with it then and feel like you're taking positive action no matter what it is that you're doing. And it feels, I don't know, it's just so much more uplifting and self-empowering to begin to look at the energy that's coming through in that more positive way of it, of everything that I am and everything that I do is creativity, which is form, which is divine feminine energy, and then I'm releasing the beauty, the masculine energy, the formlessness, and I'm dancing with it, and I can do this. And I know we can do this, and we are doing it, and that, as I like to say, we have done it. We've already done it. We've already achieved success.
Wow, you know, you're absolutely right. We are creative beings, and I certainly feel at my best when I'm writing. I mean, that's what I love to do. And we're doing that right now with you and I speaking on this show. This is part of my personal growth. My creativity is a dialogue. And I also like what you said, the last thing you said, we already are successful. The end result has already been made. We've just got to get there. I think that's what you said to me one time. You know, we have a successful outcome. We just need to, it's already it's already there, and it's in the universe, and we've just got to reach it, and we can do that, and we're doing that now.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like I was saying, the collective emotional field is what they would call in quantum physics, they're the quantum particles. And it's we live in a subjective quantum world. We don't live in an objective, nothing can change type of world. We live in a world where we have this amazing ability with our minds to be able to create and to be able to put things into form, which is what Richard Rudd calls unity, which is the second gene key, you know, that is form. And with that ability and that gift that we have received, we can do an infinite number of things. And then we become these all-powerful. Deepak Chopra has a really fantastic book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of the Superhero, that he wrote back in 2011, but it's super you know, adorable. And we have these superpowers of creating, you know. So it's very empowering to think of the energy that's coming through, especially, you know, from this full moon and this perfect time, to create the future. And that what we are doing right now, as we're totally swimming essentially in this quantum field of light. Like, if you feel it, it's everything that you are. It is consciousness. The field of light is all around us, and that we're becoming more and more aware of our ability to change and shift and to grow and expand and evolve. And you can't really actually do anything wrong. And that's one of my main messages now that I've written 5 books, and I'm a few chapters away from finishing my sixth one. And I thought I was almost done. And then I had this huge experience where I got the opportunity to watch my mind evolve. And I saw my mind stop being the observer and start becoming the observed. And I was in utter awe. There was nothing that I could do about it. I was like, okay, here we go. I guess I am becoming the one that is being observed, and I have to surrender to that. And whoever thought that the mind, the human mind, is even capable of observing itself,
Interesting.
evolving. You know, I mean, that's mind-blowing. That's super
It is.
consciousness. It's the languaging of super consciousness. You know, it's like
Right,
it's
super
coming through my
consciousness.
vessel. You know, yeah. So
Yeah.
all I can see, David, is that we can't actually do anything wrong. We're doing everything right, and we just need to keep going forward and staying in the present moment and trusting in that the ancient wisdom of the past and our future selves. That we're already holding hands, and that we're going in the right direction for sure.
Absolutely. I've come up with some similar ideas and conclusions to yours about that we are doing everything right, because in life, you really, we're eternal, we have eternal souls and we're infinite beings. We can't do anything wrong in life. We can only do the right things. And actually, we only have about 45 seconds left. So I just want to mention that we may be having a conference in Mount Shasta soon, that
Oh,
some people in our
excellent.
network are putting together. So we'll be talking more about that. Very exciting. We're all coming together on these things. So much more to come. And just thank you so much for being on our show, Deodora. Do you want to give your
Thank you
within
for
30
having me.
seconds, do you want to give your website very quickly and let people know where they can
Sure.
contact you?
I am Deodora, DeiaDora.com, and you can email me at herself at imdeodora.com.
Great. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on
you
our
for having
show. This was a wonderful interview. I'm so glad we had the opportunity to have you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I had fun.
Okay, well, thanks. We'll have to do this again sometime. So thank you. Thank you very much for listening to Universal Soul Love, and we'll see you next time.